Magandang gabi po muli sa inyong lahat. Alvin Litonwa po, taglilingkod bilang pastor ng Crossroads Church of Dubai. Sa maring na-receive ng karamihan sa inyo o hindi, gusto ko lang sana magdagdag ng ating mga anunsyo sa gabing ito. Wala po tayong kids class ngayong gabi dahil po sa panahon. Tayo po ay pinagpala ng malamig at maulan na mga ilang araw ng Panginoon at bihira po ako makarinig ng mga cancel. Huling hirig kong cancel dahil sa ulan Pilipinas. Hindi ho sa Dubai. Bihira, ito first time ko po makarinig ng mga cancel. And may mga, speaking of cancel, cancel din po ang event ng youth at saka kids tomorrow po gawa po ng unpredictability ng ating panahon. At ang, ano ba sinabi ko? Kids yung ngayon. Okay. Bukas ang youth at saka singles. Ayan po. So, paumanhin. Yaan nyo po, babawi tayo at hahanap tayo ng magandang panahon, kaloob ng Panginoon. Ano? And, yan. May mga nakakarating pa lang ng mga kapatid. Yung iba naman ay nakuhuli ay parating pa lamang dahil sa panahon. Why don't we do this? Why don't we pray right now sa mga papunta pa lamang dito? No? So let's pray. Father, you are a God of the weather. You are the God who have blessed us with the coolness of the day these past months. Blessed us with rain. For this, we thank you and we praise you na experience namin muli ito. Such a rarity sa bansang ito. I pray sa mga kapatiran namin na bumabiyahe papunta pa lamang dito ay ingatan niyo po ang kanilang mga sasakyan at nawa makarating po sila rito, Panginoon. At sabay-sabay po kami magpuri sa pag-devour ng inyong salita through the sermon. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of the things that I love to do sa Redeemer when I was an elder, aside from shepherding yung members, I almost every year for the past years so nandun ako, we bring a team of pastors and teachers mismo sa Pilipinas. And we conduct healthy church conferences. We go to a certain location sa city or minsan sa probinsya at may mga kakilala tayong mga churches na nagpupulong-pulong po for a whole day short conference. And nung dumating yung time na kung saan nagtuturo kami about role ng male and female sa church, yung conduct, yung leadership about the church, napakadami pong questions ang naitanong po sa amin. And most especially after ng talk, isa sa mga lumapit sa akin, shared yung mga discouragement na nangyayari sa loob ng kanyang iglesia between brothers and sisters sa church. And isa sa mga tanong na binato niya sa akin is this, ano ba dapat ang inaasal ng Kristiyanong lalaki at babae sa looban ng iglesia? Which is a very good question. Ano ba dapat ang conduct? Ano ba dapat ang asal? Interesting, yun ang sasagutin sa atin ni Apostle Paul sa ating passage sa 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 hanggang 15, yung binasa kanina na nilid sa atin ni Von. We are in our fourth week in our study series in the book of 1 Timothy. We're a seasoned pastor na pangalan ay Paul, wrote a letter to a very young pastor na pangalan ay Timothy para mabigyan ng guidelines on how to lead itong church sa Ephesus to become healthy. Paul commends Timothy and the church to guard the gospel by opposing false teachers, fighting for the gospel, and celebrating yung gospel. And yung mga tinignan natin yung mga nakaraan na linggo. Last week, we have seen how Paul instructed si Timothy at yung Ephesians church to pray for all kinds of peoples and all classes of people na sila'y makakilala sa Panginoon Jesucristo. Ngayong gabi naman, we will see behavioral guidelines in the church. Behavior guidelines, how men and women should behave sa isang local church. Inaral ko po ito ng mga ilang araw, halos isang linggo. Pero nung binabasa natin kanina sa Tagalog, parang mas lalong humirap. Ano? Mabigat po yung passage. Mabigat po yung passage. Kung kayo po umaten sa inyong Bible study group, I bet maraming hong interesting discussion nangyari how male and female should be exercising yung kanilang behavior or conduct or even leadership sa church. So I just want you to know na hindi ho madali yung passage, hindi ho madaling aralin. Bukod sa it involves yung relationship ng male at saka female, meron din silang mga theological content na mabigat. So I want you to be patient with me, hold on to your seats, and let's go. Main idea, godly men and women gladly submit to the biblical instructions for corporate worship. Godly men and women gladly submit to the biblical instructions for corporate worship. 2 points lang po tayo ngayong gabi. Number one, the conduct of men in corporate worship. Verse 8, isang verse lang. And number two, the conduct of women in corporate worship, verses 9 hanggang 15. Okay? So pag sinabing corporate worship is church, okay? Sa loob ng local church. Let's jump right in. Dive in. Number one, the conduct of men in corporate worship. Verse 8, I desire then that in every place the men should pray. Na-outline na ni Paul sa atin last week on how and who we should be praying. Sa verses 1 hanggang 7. Ngayon naman, he addresses ang conduct ng prayer. Ang conduct. Nung binanggit ni Paul yung word na desire, he desires men should pray. Hindi niya ine-express yung kanyang preferences dito. Hindi niya ine-express ang kanyang opinion. Okay? Na wishing na sana lahat ng mga lalaki sa church ay nagpipray. Hindi po. Tandaan po natin na he is speaking bilang apostle ni Jesus Christ. Thus, may authority siya galing kay Jesus Christ. At ang salitang desire sa verse na ito is a word of authoritative command. So, hindi lang siya nangangarap na sana magpray mga lalaki. Hindi po. It's a word of command. After commanding the Ephesians to pray for all kinds of classes and kinds of people from verses 1 to 7, he now commands the men of the church, ang mga kalalakihan sa local church, to take lead in prayer. Take lead in prayer. Bakit? Kasi God wants His sons to be men of prayer. He wants His sons to be men of prayer. Tingnan natin ulit ang verse 8. Lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Lifting holy hands does not mean na dapat mag-go through sila ng type of ceremonial cleansing na para pag-angat nilang yan, they are ceremonially clean. Hindi po. O kailangan nilang hugasan ito ng paulit-ulit para pag-angat nila ng kamay, sanitize ang kanilang mga kamay. No. Nor it does mean na tuwing mananalangin sila ay dapat yung physical posture ng kanilang prayer ay laging dapat nakataas ng kanilang mga kamay. Hindi rin po. Walang naka-indicate sa Bible na dapat single posture lang kapag nananalangin sa Panginoon. Wala po. Si David, sa Old Testament, bows his head when he prays. Minsan nakaupo pa. Makita po natin sa Psalm 5. Sa Psalm 95. Si Daniel, yung prophet, lumuluhod tuwing nananalangin siya sa kanyang kwarto. May time ng prayer siya. So, tuwing pumupunta siya sa kwarto niya, lumuluhod siya sa Daniel 6. Ganun din ang ginagawa ni Stephen sa Acts 7. And si Jesus sa Luke chapter 5. Si Moses and Joshua naman prays face down to the ground. Yung luhod niya talaga, yung mukha nakaharap sa sahig. Number 16 and Joshua 5. Ang mga Israelites naman ay nakatayo nung dinedicate ni Solomon yung temple when Solomon prayed. 2 Chronicles 6. At ang mga priests naman customarily raise their hands to worship sa temple. So, iba-ibang kapamamaraanan. Psalm 134, makikita po natin niya. Iba-ibang kapamaraanan ng posture when we pray, when we worship God. So, hindi pwede sabihin, lift holy hands. Ito lang yung standard ng way of prayer. Dito sa Crossroads, we do a variety of postures in our corporate prayers or worship. lifting hands, sitting down, standing up. Pero hindi physical posture ng prayer ang point ni Paul sa passage na ito. Hindi physical posture. Ang holy hands na nabanggit niya dito ay isang outward representation, outward sign ng inward reality of a holy life. What we do with our hands sa araw-araw represents our hearts and minds. So, ang point talaga ni Paul dito ay yung purity ng prayer or yung heart posture ng prayer. So, ang tanong po talaga dito is ganito. Which is tanong sa ating mga kalalakihan kasi sa atin naka-address ito. Is your heart pure these past days? Men, ang hearts ba natin pure these past days? God is more concerned sa heart posture ng ating prayer or worship kaysa sa physical posture ng prayer. He is more concerned sa purity ng ating prayer. At isa sa mga na-mention niya dito na struggle ng mga Ephesian men ay anger and quarreling. Anger and quarreling. Angry words and hate speeches were being exchanged dahil sa mga false teachers. Nagbabatuhan ng mga hate speeches. At nagkakalat ng mga controversies rather doing the work of God and encouraging the body. Leading in prayer. Yun po yung ginagawa eh. Kung totoo ito sa mga kalalakihan sa Ephesian Church, then totoo din po sa atin ito ngayon. Sa panahon ngayon. Generally, tayo pong mga kalalakihan have a tendency to be angry and argumentative. Napansin niyo po ba yon? Hindi, kasi yung wives ang nakakapansin. Kasi we are generally, I'm using the word generally, critical and competitive sa maraming bagay. Kapag may mga prinsipyong natamaan, o kaya naman napupunta ang usapan sa sports, sa politics, at sa theology, nakataas na yung ating mga gloves. Madalas magbatuhan tayo ng mga opinyon. May tendency tayo to argue first and listen later. At kapag hindi sumang-ayon o napaniwala natin sa, o sumang-ayon sa plano natin ng mga tao, we become agitated. We become angry. At yun, kaaway mo na. At yun, katampuhan mo na. So pinapaalalahanan po tayo mga kalalakihan ng salita ng Diyos na bilang mga Kristiyanong lalaki, huwag tayo makipag-away at magtanim ng galit. Isang paalaala po yan. Mga kapatid sa Panginoon, brothers, kamusta ang postura ng puso ninyo ngayong gabi? May galit ka ba sa tao dito sa kwarto ngayong gabi? May galit ka dahil hindi kayo nagkasundo? Brothers, bitter ka ba sa mga elders or ministry leaders ng Crossroads dahil sa nagawa nila or dahil sa nasabi nila sa iyo? Hindi po appropriate na lumapit po sa Diyos in prayer and worship kung ang puso po natin ay punong-puno ng bitterness, hatred, anger, or rage laban sa ating kapwa. You cannot worship God kung ang puso natin ay preoccupied by being angry. Being angry with someone. Anger and quarreling po ay nakakasakit sa church in many ways. At isa na po dito is it hinders yung prayers. Pakinggan po natin yung sinabi ni Jesus sa Matthew chapter 5 verse 23 hanggang 24. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift, therefore, before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Kung meron kang galit sa isang tao, And here you are worshiping the Lord, serving in the ministry, praying. Jesus is saying, stop. Leave. Be reconciled. Hindi maayos. You don't have holy hands. The holy hands is reflecting your heart posture. Here's the thing about God. He doesn't just see hands raising up. He sees the heart that represents those hands. Hindi po tayo pwedeng mag-lift ng mga holy hands in prayer or worship or even take part sa communion mamayang gabi. Well, gabi na, mamaya after ng service. You cannot take part kung meron tayong puot o galit, nagngingit-ngit sa galit laban sa isang tao. You have anger and unforgiving hearts against a brother or sister in Christ sa church or maybe sa labas ng church. Brothers, meron ka bang sinisikretong, let me ask this again. Brothers, meron ka bang sinisikreto at inaalaga ang sama ng loob sa mga misis nyo ngayong oras na ito? First Peter chapter 3 verse 7 warns us husbands. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. With an understanding way. With an understanding way. Showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, physically, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Galing kay Jesus to. Have you been praying lately and you feel that God has been silent? Maybe it's that anger or bitterness o hindi mapatawad na ginawa ni Mrs. o sinabi ng Mrs. for the past 10 years pa na. Patawarin mo na. I won't go too much in there kasi ang passage natin is directly sa corporate worship. Pero confess, kapatid. Confess before God and seek reconciliation with your brother or sister in Christ. Lalo na kung yung wife mo is also a sister in Christ. And if you have no desire of forgiving or asking forgiveness and choose to nurse your grudge, don't take the Lord's Supper mamaya. Don't do it. Don't do it. Ang unahin natin is to be reconciled muna with ask forgiveness, be reconciled. Brothers, let us not be marked by anger and quarreling. Kasi ito ang marka ng mga false teachers. Always arguing, even with the foolish things. Let us not be marked by that. Number two, the conduct of women in corporate worship. Verse 9. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire. Parang gusto ko muna bumuelo rito. This is even, I know this is going to be addressed for women, but trust men na hindi tayo exempted din dito. And it's been very convicting even para sa akin. But women, heed the word of the Lord. Likewise, ang word na likewise, o tulad ng mga kalalakihan sa church, yun ang sinasabi ni Paul, when coming to corporate worship or church, ang mga kababaihan should also have a proper heart and hand posture pagdating sa worship. Hindi lang mga lalaki, pati mga babae. Nag-focus si Paul sa appearance ng mga kababaihan in corporate worship, kung mapapansin po natin yung passage. Hindi sinasabi ni Paul na dapat ganito lamang ikilos nila sa loob ng church. Hindi po yun yung guidelines na ito. O sige, pagpasok na ng church, dapat itong gawin nyo. Paglabas, bahala na kayo. Hindi po. This should be a consistent life of worship. Okay? Ang prinsipyong ito ay applicable sa pang-araw-araw nilang pamumuhay or worship life. Women are to be modest. Anong ibig sabihin ng modest? Quite honestly, mas madaling ipaliwanag ang hindi modest kaysa sa modest. Kasi yun din ang ginawa ni Paul sa verse 9. So, punta muna tayo ron. Okay? Sa Ephesus, again, maybe you're wondering and you're seeing, ay, bawal na mag-braid.
Paano yan? Mag-CR muna ako, pastor.
Yun ba yan? Teka, bago kayo magtanggal ng braid, hear the word. Sa Ephesus, gaya ng mga ancient cities na kung saan na itinayo ang mga churches, kagaya ng Ephesus, ito'y punong-puno ng vanity at saka immorality. At makikilala ang mga ganitong klaseng mga kababaihan sa kanilang mga kasuotan at kinikilos. Ayon sa mga scholars, sa Hellenistic society kagaya ng Ephesus, ang mga kababaihan na elaborate yung braids ng buhok ay isang palatantaan ng extravagant luxury. Sosyal. Paiksiin ko na lang, sosyal. Kasi masyado daw elaborate, ang pagkasabi ng mga scholars na nag-aral nito, masyado daw elaborate ang arrangement ng mga braids, pati yung mga kulot, to the point na pinagtatagpi-tagpi ito hanggat magmukha na siyang tore or tower. Okay? At hindi lang po natatapos ito dito. May mga decorations po ito na nilalagay sa buhok. Diamonds, gems, pearls, gold. Lahat ng mga bagay na yan nandun. Ang mga kababaihan na ganito ang forma ay associated either with extremely wealthy women in the royal court or temple prostitutes. It was a sign of vanity. So, ang ginagawa nila ay gugugol sila ng maraming oras, gagastos ng limpak-limpak na pera para maging fancy ang kanilang hairstyle. Tapos they will match it up with fancy clothing. And once they're all set up na, they go to church. Hindi ho party sa church. Ang kanilang motive, to show off their wealth, their prestige, and glamour. As a result, they've caused other women sa church to be envious, and men to be seduced. Gusto nila maging center of attention sa church. That's why ganun na lang ang instruction. Again, these are cultural times. Alam ni Paul understands the culture. He's not submitting to the culture ng Ephesus. He looks at the culture through the lenses of the gospel. So, hindi nagpapailalim ang gospel sa kultura. So, Paul here is addressing this kasi ito yung napapansin niya, nagalawan at pormahan sa lugar na yon. Maybe hindi itotoo ito sa ibang mga lugar. So, he was culturally sensitive. At ang sinabi ni Paul, walang lugar ang ganitong klaseng asal sa loob ng iglesia or Christian worship. There's no place for things like that in our corporate worship. He's giving instructions to Timothy. Just imagine, here's Timothy reading this letter to the church. At kung nandun yung mga glamorous dames, you can imagine how uncomfortable this is sa kanila. Even as I preach, sometimes we also feel a little bit uncomfortable. Please trust that this is God's word. God's word is true and it speaks directly sa ating heart. Now hindi po nangangahulugan na masama magsuot ng mga ginto, hindi po masama magsuot ng perlas, ng mga diamante, ng mga magaganda at mamahaling damit, hindi naman po. Wal o bawal magpa-parlor para magpa-keratin, magpa-highlights, o magpakulay ho ng buhok. Wala hong problema ron. Or magsuot ng makeup at mga branded na apparel. That's not the issue. Now, ang nasa isip marahil ng karamihan na kababaihan dito, as I say this, sige pastor, kung hindi, ano yung lista? Bigyan mo nga kami ng lista ng anong pwede at hindi pwedeng suotin. Hindi ko po gagawin yan. Kasi ayoko. Because we want to address something that is bigger rather than yung sinusuot natin. Instead, problemahin natin ang listahan na mga kailangan suotin at hindi kailangan suotin, mag-focus tayo sa tunay na problema. And yung tunay na problema, the biggest problem is the heart. It's the heart. Ito ang tunay na problema. Ang iyong mga isinusuot at kinikilos ay isang public statement ng mga desires ninyo sa inyong puso. Kung ano man ang isinusot at kinikilos mo, ito ang gusto mong i-communicate marahil sa mga taong nakatingin sa iyo. Kasi po mga sis, immodesty. Immodesty ay hindi lamang kung gaano ka-revealing ang iyong kasuotan. It is also the act of calling attention to yourself. You want others to see you, to look at you, to give you special attention or compliments. Mga sis, this is pride. That's why the biggest issue is the heart. Paul defines modesty in verse 10. But with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Peter echoed this, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. But with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Mga sisters in Christ, do not be consumed with outward beauty. Kasi this is fleeting. We get old. Nagko-collapse ang ating kalusukan. And we die. Very temporal. Ang modesty ay isang resulta ng mga kababaihan na may self-control at consumed with godliness and good works. Restrain yourself from calling attention to yourself, but instead calling attention to Jesus. Ang ultimate fashion statement para sa isang Christian woman ay hindi pagsuot ng gold, pearls, or having flawless skin or good shape, which I've mentioned na hindi naman masama, but hindi ito yung fashion statement na dapat marks a Christian woman. Kung hindi, she should adorn herself with good works, devoting her service to her God and to the bride of Christ, which is yung church. Yun ang pormahan ng tunay na Kristiyano na babae. Listen, single men. Single men, here's the standard ng tunay na magandang babae. A godly woman who loves Jesus and serves his bride. A woman who is dressed to serve. A woman who is dressed to serve. Yun ang magandang babae. Ang ganitong klaseng kagandahan ay makikita sa Bible. Si Dorcas sa Acts chapter 9, kilalang matulungin sa mga nangangailangan. Si Lydia, hospitable at generous businesswoman na tumulong kay Paul. Si Priscilla, asawa ni Aquila, boldly corrects yung preacher na ang pangalan si Apollos sa kanyang doctrine at binuksan ang kanyang tahanan at kinupkup si Paul. These and many other women who adorn themselves with service, serving God's people for the glory of God. Napakadaing pangkababaihan sa Bible who dress to serve. They are actually described sa kanilang conduct and character, not their physical attributes. Papansin niyo sa Bible, they would mention women, bira makita na Ruth, blonde hair, blue eyes. Hindi. Ang mostly kinaano is yung kanilang character, how they served. So crossroads tayo po ay pinagpala ng Panginoon ng mga magagandang kababaihan sa church na ito. Amen? Ba't di kayo nag-agree? Ulitin ko yung tanong. Tayo po ay pinagpala ng napakadaming magagandang babae sa Crossroads Church of Dubai. Women who are dressed to serve. Women who are dressed to serve. Napakadami ano na pwede ko i-pinpoint. Pero isa lang ang gusto ko sanang i-highlight ngayong gabi. si Inay Mary, siya ang magandang babae. Sa season ng life niya, ayaw magpaawat, maglingkod sa Panginoon. Siya po ay laging nagkoconduct ng Bible study sa mga kababaihan. Always looking for women to disciple. Sa mga gathering, imposibleng hindi, wala si Nanay Mary nakikipag-usap, encouraging, praying. Naging solid yung ating mga senior citizen na kababaihan dahil kay Inay Mary. And I know hindi madali yung oras ng Bible study, alas dos. Struggle sa ating mga kabataan pa nga yan. Pero she persevered. Kahit masakit ang tuwa, di niya sasabihin yun. Tuupo na lang minsan. But you never, hindi mo siya mapapahinto in speaking the glories and beauty ni Christ. Men, yun ang mga pinagpe-pray. Magandang babae. Marami pang magagandang kababaihan who dress to serve sa crossroads. Women who arrange meals sa mga may sakit. Women who faithfully disciple other women. Who serve in the youth, kids, connection, music. Involve in serving in a lot of areas. Women who are dressed to serve. Sisters in Christ, how are you beautifying yourselves? Saan ka mostly captivated? Sa clothing or sa iyong character? Does your appearance attract people to Christ or to yourself? Are you attracting godly men or worldly men? As you prepare to come to church, do you spend time thinking about kung sino ang pwede mong paglingkuran, ipag-pray, i-minister ngayong gabi? Or do you spend time thinking kung ano susuotin mo? Sa ating mga teenage girls, if you're unsure sa iyong fashion sense, as you hear this, my pastoral counsel sa inyo is this. Ask your parents. Ask your parents if what you wear commends Christ. Consider their wisdom. I would say unahin yung father. Well, mas maganda kung sabay. Mga tatay na nandito ngayong gabi, are you shepherding your daughters in modesty? Love them enough to have grace-filled, God-glorifying, intrusive conversations. Intrusive conversation, awkward. Conversations about her appearance, kahit ito'y awkward. Love them. Love them that way. Verse 11. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. Ano ibig sabihin nito? Learn quietly. Nung panahon kasi na ito, women are not allowed na mangaral o mag-train katulad po ng kalalakihan. Ano? So this is quite a bold statement galing kay Paul. At the same time, this is empowering sa mga kababaihan. Wow, we're allowed to learn like men. Pero naglagay siya ng mga kondisyon. Kasi may mga kababaihan dito sa Church ng Ephesus na ginagamit ang kanilang freedom to learn in ways na hindi kaaya-aya sa harapan ng Panginoon. Napaunlakan sila, matuto, and then ginagamit yung kanilang kaalaman na hindi naaayon sa salita ng Diyos. Ang word na quiet is repeated twice sa passage na ito. Hindi ito nangangahulugan na women cannot talk sa church. That's not true. Sabi sa 1 Corinthians, pwede silang mag-participate sa public worship, especially when we talk about praying or reading scripture. Ang point ni Paul is learning should be done in all submissiveness. This is to respect and honor the leadership and authority that God has given kanino? Elders. Ang ibig sabihin ay to receive the elders' teaching in spirit of gladness and agreement, not contradicting. And later on, makikita nyo kung paano nila ginamit yung mga katuruan na mali. Kapag pumapasok sa isip ang karamihan ng salitang submission, usually negative kagad yung naiisip po natin. Ano? Pero alam nyo ba na ang biblical submission ay galing sa Panginoon, and this type of submission is good. It's really good. Ang best way to understand submission is the example of Christ between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father and God the Son, they modeled it sa Trinity. One God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, co-dignified, co-eternal, one in essence, nature, power, action, and will. Jesus perfectly exemplified itong klaseng submission. Jesus perfectly submits to the Father's will from incarnation down to death on the cross. Nakakatulong ito sa pag-uunawa natin pagdating sa relationship ng babae at lalaki. They are both created in the image of God. They are both equal sa harapan ng Panginoon. Yet, meron silang magkaibang role. They complement. They don't compete. They complement one another. God commands the wives to submit sa kanilang mga asawang lalaki at ang mga kababaihan naman is to submit. God commands the wives to submit sa kanilang asawang lalaki at ang mga kababaihan naman is to submit sa kanilang mga elders in terms of teaching and authority. To submit in the same way, and here's the beauty about submission, women, submit in a way like Christ submitted to the Father. They can cheerfully learn, pero totoo ba na dapat hindi sila magturo ever? Totoo ba na mga babae ay dapat hindi magturo sa church? Kahit kailan? Well, tingnan natin verse 12. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over man or a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. Hindi po ibig sabihin na ito na women should not teach. Although parang yun ang sinabi niya. So you're kind of counterintuitive. Anong ibig sabihin mo, Pastor? No, it's because sa Titus 2, older women teach younger women. Sa 2 Timothy chapter 3, si Timothy tinuruan ng scripture ng kanyang lola at saka ng kanyang nanay. So, hindi necessarily na hindi sila magturo sa church. Priscilla at ang husband niyang si Aquila, kaya na nabanggit ko, tinuruan si Apollos. So, pwede po silang magturo sa mga kabataan, sa kapwa babae, sa youth, sa mga bata. Pwede po yan. Pwede silang mag-participate in prayer. Pwede silang mag-participate sa Bible reading, teach other women, facilitate and contribute sa Bible studies. Pwede po yan. Counseling. Ang hindi dahil sa wala silang kakayanan, hindi po yun yung argument. Baka yun ang inisip. Kasi si Paul, hindi mga educated, hindi yun yung reason ni Paul. Maraming kababaihan ang gifted sa pagturo more than men. Totoo po yun. And even educated. Hindi po issue dito ang education and capability or gifting. Hindi rin yun ang argument ni Paul kung bakit hindi pwedeng magturo. Meron siyang dalawang grounds na tinukoy dito or dalawang argument para hindi magturo ang babae. One is in creation. Second is in fall. Creation at fall. Verses 13. For Adam was formed first than Eve. Creation. Teka muna, ang pagsuot ng mga damit ng kababaihan, sinabi nyo kanina, cultural, Pastor. Eh bakit hindi na lang gawin cultural itong submission? Baka yung nalalaos naman yan noon, eh baka kultura kasi noon yan, o kasi sa panahon niya, baka ngayon, eh hindi na, iba na ang panahon ngayon, which is, yun ang madalas na papanood natin yan at naririnig natin, hindi po ba? Kasi hindi po, itong point dito, hindi po cultural idea ang submission. Submission is transcultural. Transcultural or above culture. Ang grounds ay way back sa creation sa day 6. Sa Genesis chapter 1, which is yung binasa natin kapatiran kanina si Jerome. Sa time ni Adam and Eve. God created Adam and Eve. They are both equal in the sight of God kasi both are created in the image of God. Sa creation order, God created Adam first, which is yung binanggit sa verse na ito. Ang argument ni Paul ay similar daw ito sa ancient na biblical law. And I'm going to butcher itong word na to, but bear with me. Ang tawag dito is primogeniture. Ano ibig sabihin nito? O firstborn na anak na lalaki is held the lead, was held in leadership responsibility sa family. Yun po yung kagawian doon. He is to lead both in the home and in worship. Regardless sa talented siya o hindi, pero dahil siya ang firstborn, siya dapat ang gumawa ng mga ito. That is his role. In the same way, si Adam ang first form ng Panginoon. Okay? Siya ang may leadership responsibility sa home at saka worship. These roles complement each other. Man's leadership role sa family and in worship is grounded sa creation. So yun yung sinasabi niya rito, you should not teach. Pero ano pa isa? Fall. Creation and fall. Verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Now, itong sinasabi sa atin ni Paul, na, ang mangyayari kapag magkaroon ng reversal of roles ang babae at lalaki. Ito ang mangyayari if man fails to lead. Now, hindi dahil ang mga kababaihan ay hindi reliable. As mentioned in the order of creation, yun ang responsibility ng lalaki. Pero God appointed men to lead the home and the church. And if magkaroon ng reversal of roles, chaos. Sa Genesis 3, nakita natin yung chaos na yon. Sa Garden of Eden, there was a reversal of the role. The serpent led and deceived Eve. Na sino ba dapat mag-lead sa mga animals? Adam and Eve. But look at the reversal here. Ang animal, Satan used a wise animal, which is his serpent, deceived Eve. He had led her. And Eve, na dapat nagsasubmit kay Adam, had led Adam sa mali. Now, ibig sabihin ba, walang ginawang mali si Adam? Ay, malaki ang ginawang mali ni Adam. Kasi ano ba ginawa ni Adam? Yun ang point eh, wala! Wala siyang ginawa and she ate the fruit and gave some to her husband who was beside her. Wala! Sabi nga nila, sigurista eh, tingnan natin kung mamamatay si Eve pag kinain. Ay, di namatay. So, kinuha niya, kinain niya. He did nothing. Adam failed to lead his wife, kaya ngayon, sin entered into the world. Of course, the main reason is they disobeyed God in the role that was given to them. Dahil dyan, death came to the world because all have sinned. Kaaway na tayo ng Diyos. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Ang bad news, nagsimula ang Bible sa isang tragic na reversal. Tragic na reversal sa garden na humantong sa kamatayan. Saan ang pag-asa natin ngayon? Ngunit, ang mabuting balita ay sa Bible, meron uli isa pang reversal na nangyari. Isa pang garden. Sa first garden, Adam turned away from God, the Father, rejecting God's design sa kanilang buhay. Sa second garden, meron second Adam, which is si Jesus Christ, who turns to the Father and submitted to God's design sa kanyang buhay. First Adam, God said, mag-submit ka sa akin regarding that tree at mabubuhay ka. Anong gawa ni Adam? Hindi sumunod, he died. The second Adam, God also said, mag-submit ka sa akin regarding that tree. At mamamatay ka para marami ang mabuhay. He submitted and he died. Friends, Jesus was hanged on that tree of death, at ginawa niyang itong tree of life for you and me. So that we might live for eternity. This is the greatest act of submission. Jesus took our sin and shame on the cross, was judged by God the Father in our place, died and was buried, and on the third day has risen from the grave. There was another reverse. The reverse is the curse. The curse of sin is no more for those who trust and believe Christ's finished work on the cross. So there is an invitation, hindi po ba? Sa, hindi lang sa babae, kundi sa lalaki. Magsisi sa ating kasalanan.
talikuran ng mga inaasahan nating mga pwedeng magligtas sa ating kabutihan, relihiyon, at ilagay ang ating pananampalataya at tiwala sa Panginoon Hesukristo at ang ginawa niya sa krus, gawing siyang Diyos at sariling tagapagligtas.
Verse 15, I'll speed up a little bit because of time. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control.
Hindi ito madaling verse na i-interpret. I've read some of the scholars at sinasabi na isa sa mga pinakamahirap na interpret na verse ito sa New Testament. Kasi hindi ibig sabihin na nagkaanak ang babae is nagkaroon na siya ng spiritual salvation o maliligtas siya sa kasalanan. Dahil marami mga kababaihan, alam po natin sa mundo ay walang mga anak at hindi nanganak. So ibig sabihin ba, hindi sila maliligtas spiritually. So hindi po yun ang ibig sabihin nito. This would betray Ephesians chapter 2. This is the very same people that believes Ephesians chapter 2. That says, by grace we have been saved through faith. So definitely hindi ito yung tinuturo ni Paul. So ito ang tinuturo niya, by grace through Christ. Faith in Christ. It also does not mean that you will be saved from childbirth. Alam din po natin na marami ang mga nahirapan sa panganganak at pumanaw. Hindi rin ito physical salvation. Hindi yun ang kahulugan nito. Maraming interpretation po nito, pero many, at siguro mabibilang po ako dito, na naniniwala na hindi ito physical salvation, yung verse 15, kung hindi spiritual salvation. Through the birth of the Messiah. This was the prophecy in Genesis chapter 3. Ang encounter ni Eve sa serpent reversed the creation order and she takes the lead to sin. Ang dahilan kung bakit nakafocus si Paul sa specific sin ni Eve ay dahil ang mga kababaihan sa Ephesus are taking the leadership position and authority of the men of the church. They become the preachers, they become the authority people. Yun yung sinasabi ko na kapag hindi ginamit yung kanilang learning at hindi nag-submit sa kalooban ng Panginoon. So, these women take leadership in the church. Gaya ng ginawa ni Eve sa garden. Kaya Paul points the good news kay Eve and to all of us na si Eve will be saved through Christ. The promised seed, the promised child. Kaya mga fallen women sa Ephesus will also be saved through Christ. At lahat ng mga sa atin nandito na wala pa kay Kristo will also be saved because of the promised child, which is si Jesus Christ. Friends, this gives us hope. This gives hope to the Ephesians. This gives hope to all of us na wala pa sa Panginoon Hesukristo. And so God has given these guidelines in order for us to honor Him. Godly men and godly women submitting to the biblical truths, not culture, not because na outdated na yung kasabihan ni Paul, but because we believe that this is the teaching of the Word. Godly men and women gladly submit to the biblical instructions for corporate worship sa looban ng isang iglesia. And you know what? We need to be constantly reminded of this, that Christ came, that He gave His life for us so that we would be encouraged and yung hope natin is would be rekindled kay Christ at hindi sa sarili natin. That's why tonight is another opportunity for us to remember kung anong ginawa ni Christ sa cross sa pamamagitan po ng communion. We are commanded by Jesus Christ to observe the ordinances of the church. Isa yung baptism, and then yung Lord's Supper. Both are meant to be pictures, visual displays of good news of Jesus Christ. Ang baptism ay ang unang ordinansa. This is a one-time symbol of our individual entrance to the body of Christ. At ang communion naman ay pangalawang ordinansa. It is an ongoing celebration of the unity that we enjoy together in Christ through His death and resurrection. Sa communion, ang larawan ng tinapay, ang tinapay ay naglalarawan ng katawan ni Kristo who was laid down as a sacrifice. At ang kopa naman, or a cup, yung juice na yan, yung grape juice na yan, represents yung blood that was shed from His body for our sins.
wonderful privilege para sa ating ngayong gabi to witness itong reminder na to and take part of it. Pero may instructions muli ang binigay ng Panginoon sa church. Pero hindi sa Ephesus, kundi sa Corinth, kung paano i-conduct ang communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 27-29, kaya ang sino mang kumakain at ng tinapay at umiinom sa kopa ng Panginoon sa paraang hindi nararapat ay nagkakasala sa katawan at dugo ng Panginoon. Kaya dapat siyasatin ng tao ang kanyang sarili bago siya kumain ng tinapay at uminom sa kopa. Sapagkat ang sino mang kumakain at umiinom ng hindi kinikilala ang kahalagahan ng katawan ng Panginoon ay kumakain at umiinom ng kahatulan laban sa kanyang sarili. If you're here today and you've repented from your sins and trusted Jesus Christ and what He has done on the cross for salvation, you are welcome. If you're a member, you're a member, and you are not a member of this church, if you believe this gospel that was shared, you are invited. However, if you are in an unrepentant sin, there is bitterness and unforgiveness and anger sa puso mo, we encourage you to let this cup and bread pass you. Spend this time instead of meditating and repenting and asking forgiveness and be reconciled sa tao na ito. Let's pray. Father, these symbols of blood and body, pray that this would edify our souls tonight. May the cross be to us the wisdom of God and the power of our Almighty Savior as we meditate the promise of eternal life. Would you let those things that easily entangle us, Father, be confessed and be put away with, that we may exalt Christ in all areas of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.